Welcome to Bible Education Institute. My name is Reverend Henry Kelly. Today, we will be continuing the book of Romans, and we will be doing chapter 14. And I'll be using the NIV, the New International Version, just to make it simpler to understand. And it's a good version. And before we get started, I always like to tell you why we can depend on the Bible and why we can trust the Bible. And I got this information from Dr. Vodi Bakum, which you can find on YouTube. And he's a great teacher, preacher. And you can follow him, you know, on most platforms. The Bible, a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses, 40 authors, 66 volumes or books, span of 1,500 years, in three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, written in three languages, mainly Hebrew and Greek, a little in Aramaic, hundreds of subjects and topics. And that's why we can trust the Bible. All right, let's get started. And the title, the first in this section, it's a short chapter. The title in this section is called The Weak and the Strong. Let's begin in Romans chapter 14 and verse 1 in the New Testament. Except the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith, this is verse 2, one person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. Verse 3, the one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must now judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Verse 4, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master servant stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Now remember, I'm going to chime in here, but remember, now back then, they still had slaves and everything else, and that's why you heard masters, whatever, and also, if somebody was over you in some way, you'd call them master or Lord. That was just the accepted thing back then. Because remember, we're talking about the early church. Okay, let's continue. Verse 5, one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. And verse 6, whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God, and whosoever abstains does so to the Lord and give thanks to God. Verse 7, for none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. Verse 8, if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Verse 9, for this very reason Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Verse 10, you then, why do you judge your brother or sister, or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. Verse 12, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Verse 13, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. Verse 14, I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself, but if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. Verse 15, if your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not be your eating Do not let your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Verse 16. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. Verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Verse 18. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. So, that right there just tells you, you know, to put it in more modern terms, it's like everybody's on different levels, different pathways or whatever. It's like some of us are more learned, so we know better. We know it doesn't matter. But ones coming up or new believers, new Christians that come up, you know, they may not know, you know. Or some people in whatever culture they're in, you know, they're still learning and growing, but for that time, they just, you know, they don't understand. And some people, you have some people that, who never learn, they just stay as babies, you know, because Paul, he talked about that, about some Christians being still on milk, because they're not learning and growing like they should, you know. But you know, if you've been a Christian any length of time, you know, like some years in there, you should be learning. If you're reading your Bible daily without fail and doing what it says, and in a good, strong Bible believing teaching church, and you're, you know, you're like, you know, if you have a good church that you could actually work in and learn and all like that while you're studying and reading, you know, because I had that privilege when I first was young and the Lord and everything. For the first year or so, I didn't really have anything, but then I moved, and I moved to a place where I was able to find a church and start growing and stuff. And then as I grew, then I had to move churches, because that particular church I was in, they were like, they only taught certain things, so you could only grow so much. So for me to grow, I had to find a better church that could teach me more, you know. And that's just how it was. And then, you know, of course, taking classes and courses or whatever you could helps a lot also, you know. But, yeah, so we have to be respectful of others, you know, not put them down because they don't know what they got to do in love. But now if you have someone teaching, preaching and teaching, and they're teaching stuff that they should know better, then that's where, you know, we need to come in love, but we need to, they need to be able to be corrected. But a lot of times they will not be corrected because they think, you know, they're on a certain level and they can't be taught. That's not a good place to be when you think you can't learn, you know. But in correcting, you have to know scripture properly to be able to do that. Okay. Let's continue. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. Verse 15. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. Verse 16, therefore, do not let what you know is good or spoken of as evil. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Verse 19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Verse 20, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food, or food is clean. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. 21. And that also just goes in, like, you know, like I said, remember cultures and differences and stuff. And so if somebody believes something and it really has nothing, you know, I mean, it's not like a scripture thing, but more of a culture thing, you know, then you just need to be careful what we're doing. Okay, 21, it is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. Verse 22, so whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourselves and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. Verse 23, but whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. Wow. That's pretty straight to the point. That's the way I like it. I like stuff straight to the point. I think it's fantastic. Okay, so I'm just going to just read just a little bit out of the Matthew Henry's Concise Commentary on the Whole Bible, just to give us a little bit more clarity. It says here, the Jewish converts are cautioned against judging and Gentile believers against despising one another. And the Gentiles are exhorted to take heed of giving offense in their use of indifferent things. And then, and this is in chapter 14, verse 1 through 6. Differences of opinion prevailed among the immediate followers of Christ and their disciples. Nor did St. Paul attempt to end them, compelled assent to any doctrine or conformity to outward observances without being convinced, would be hypocritical and of no avail. Attempts for producing absolute oneness of mind among Christians would be useless. Let not Christian fellowship be disturbed with strifes of words. I'll leave it right there. I think we get the point. They have the context to everything. You know, so just, you know, be mindful of others and those who are on different levels of Christianity, you know, babes in Christ or whatever, or those that know more. Okay, so I'm going to leave it that there. And I would like to give you some resources real quick. I didn't give it to you when I first started. I would suggest to getting Matthew Henry's Concise Commentary on the Whole Bible. You get them used or new. Or you can get the whole commentary. The Concise is real thick. You know, and you can also, I'm going to give you one you can find online. It's free. And it's www.BibleStudyTools.com. Go to menu, go to study tools, go to commentaries, down to Matthew Henry's commentary on the Bible, parentheses complete, and there you go in the modern language. And also I would suggest, just to help you understand some church history, there's a lot of good church on church history, but another one who was actually there was Flavius Josephus. He was a military and Jewish historian during the early church. And let me see. Yep. And let me, I wanted to find everything I had on that. I reckon that's it for now. Anyways. Oh. And Flavius Josephus was born AD 37 to AD 100, and all that, like, in AD 70 is when Jerusalem was destroyed. And so he describes of what, how horrific all that was, and the starvation of the people and everything. Another good book to have is a Matthew Henry Concise Commentary, or you can get the whole commentary, both of them. I mean, I have both. It's very good, helps you get the context of everything, what was going on, the whole thing. Because remember, for the first the Christian church has been here over 2,000 years, so about the first 1,800 years, they taught the correct way. And then in the mid-1800s, they had a slightly different view that this fellow, John Darby, I believe his name was John Darby, last name definitely Darby, but he brought a belief system that was not correct and was not what the church taught. And so a lot of the church today has adopted that, and that's why their theology is all wrong. And they're the eschatology, with this, which is the studies of the last days, are incorrect. And so they have a whole theology that has nothing to do with the Word of God, and they're believing it, and they're living by it, and that's causing a lot of problems. We need to go back to what the early church was teaching. And what I'm giving you is the exact teaching that we're supposed to have. Because I had to discover that myself. You know, because a lot of stuff in the Bible was not, when I was reading, especially the New Testament, especially in Matthew 24, 25, And when Jesus was talking about the last days, and he said, some of you will be here. Then, so he was talking about the last days. He was talking about the end of the age is different. It's not the last day. The end of that particular age is what he's talking about. And that's why we have to correct, teach properly and correct, and get the correct context. And that's why they believe the revelation, they take the whole thing literal, and it's not. It's an allegory. So an allegory is a story with a meaning, and it also has symbolisms also. And that's why we also need to learn hermeneutics, which is how to rightly divide the Word of God. What's literal? What's poetic? What's allegory? What's, you know, literal? And we need to learn that. And because it's important. There's some good books on that too. And there's a good video on that, which is Dr. Walter Martin. You can find him on YouTube and put in hermeneutics. And he has a really simple teaching on hermeneutics that really help you, and you can get his book on hermeneutics. Okay. So let me give you some scripture. And then we will be in good shape. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 8 through 9, the NIV. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'm just going to leave it there. Let me give you some salvation scriptures. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 10, the King James Version. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in the heart that God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confesseth unto salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, King James Version. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Romans chapter 10, verse 17, King James Version, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So why do we need Christ? Why do we need to be saved? Come to him? Because we've all broken God's moral law, the Ten Commandments that he's written in our hearts. That's why we know that stealing is wrong, lying is wrong, murder is wrong. We know that because he wrote supernaturally his commandments, his moral law, on our hearts. Have you ever lied? We've all lied. What do you call someone that lies? A liar. Have you ever borrowed something and didn't bring it back? Or doesn't matter how much it's worth, a paperclip, a pen, or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's the intent. You don't have to do it one time in your lifetime and you're guilty of all this stuff. If you break one of the commandments, you break them all. So that's two right there. What do you call someone that steals? A thief. Have you ever looked at another person with lust? According to Jesus, you already committed adultery in your heart. So you see where that lies, and that's only three of the Ten Commandments. That's why we need Christ, because we have broken God's commandment. We need to come with a sorrowful, contrite heart, realizing that we've broken his laws and therefore guilty. So if God was to judge you by the Ten Commandments, would you be innocent or guilty? You would be guilty. Heaven or hell? It would be hell. It's a place of torment for those that do not repent. He's made a way for us. That's why Christ came, and he was a one-time sacrifice. Though you wouldn't have to sacrifice animals or anything anymore, but it's a one-time sacrifice. And now we can just come by faith believing. And I would suggest you do that quickly, because you don't know when your time is up. Every 24 hours, 100,000 people die in this world every day. Every 24 hours. And that's something. It's amazing how someone could come up with all that, you know, look, research all that and do that. But it's a scary thing when you really think about it. Let me give you some resources. All these you can find on YouTube and their websites. Dr. Voddie Buckham, voddiebuckham.com is all over YouTube, and you can put Voddie Buckham Ministries in your search engine and pull up where you can follow him, or you know, see what he's doing and get his newsletter. Living Waters, Ray Comfort, livingwaters.com. Answers in Genesis with Ken Ham, answers in genesis.org. Wall Builders with David Barton, wallbuilders.com. And he goes over mostly American Christian history and some world history, but about, you know, the believers who came before us and, you know, who stood strong. Dr. Walter Martin, waltermartin.org. Dr. R.C. Sproul, Ligonier Ministries. He's also on YouTube. And Apologia Studios with Pastor Jeff Durbin, apologiastudios.com. You can go on apologiastudios.com and go on the menu and click on Greg Bonson, B-A-N-S-E-N, and he was a really good biblical professor, and he died a while back, and the family donated all of his audio recordings, teachings, to Apologia Studios. They remastered it. Now you get a little free education. It's really great. And if you would like to correspond with us, it's all lowercase, BibleEducationInstitute@gmail.com. And our website, you can find at the below in the description. And click on it. And it's just a cheap website. You know, I didn't get a real fancy anything. But you can go on there and just, you know, give you some basics of what we do. And if you'd like to write it down, it is 5 lowercase d lowercase b lowercase e 1182 lowercase e 5831 dot site all lowercase site 123 dot lowercase me, and you can find us on there. And also you can find us on these platforms, audio and video platforms. You can find us on YouTube and Rumble, and on audio platforms is Helium Radio Network, heliumradio.com, Listen Notes, Luminary Podcast Player FM, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Amazon Music, Overcast, Chrome, G-Potter, Firefox, Safari, iTunes, Audible, Alexa, Google, Podbean, Internet Explorer, Podcast Addict, and others. And there's some more good teachers, Doug Wilson, Gary DeMarle, this can be found on YouTube, Pastor Joel Webben with Right Response Ministries, Dr. James White is on YouTube and with Apologia Studios. And then, you know, you got the other ones that I already mentioned was good. And you can also find us on Telegram, Getter, Twitter, Facebook, and Gab. And let me give you some. And I get a lot of used books. We can get used or new books and Bibles and stuff like that. And here's just a few that I go to. Abe Books, A-B-E-B-O-O-K-S. All this is online. Thrift Books, Amazon, Alibris, A-L-I-B-R-I-S. And there's a lot more. You can just put in what you're looking for, and all these booksellers will pop up. Also, another good resource, you can go to TCT Network, put that in your search engine, and when it pops up, you go to on-demand programs, and there's one there you can get called Faith and History with William Federer. It's really, really good. He talks about all Christian history and a lot of American history. It's fascinating and fantastic. Another one to learn the Old Testament, and his wife helps him sometimes too, is RabbiDanielLappin.com and Susan Lappin. And they do have a good, you know, some good teaching on that. And you can also go, if you go to RabbiDanielLappin.com, his wife Susan Lappin has a blog there you can read on there. It's really good. And also you find them on YouTube and have really good, some good teachings on it about the Bible. They break it down pretty good, you know, the Old Testament part. And his wife helps him too. It's very interesting. So remember, till the next time, read your Bible daily without fail and do what it says.